بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. الحمد لله. Today is the 18th of July in the year 2021. And alhamdulillah, we moved on to the fourth session that we're going through the commentary of the glorious Surah Maryam. And alhamdulillah, today is the day of Mina, where the Hajis have started their Hajj in earnest. So we ask Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives us for their sake. Amen. And I've reached verse 10 of Surah Maryam. And inshallah today, going through up to and including verse 12. So verse 10. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam said, O my Lord, give me a sign. Your sign was the answer shall be that you shall speak to no man for 3 nights, although you are not dumb. So again, in context, Allah the Almighty Glorious has promised Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, despite his old age, he'll be blessed with a son. So now Zakariya is asking alayhi salatu wasalam, give me a sign. So does that mean he's doubting? Have you understood? Does that mean he's doubting Allah Ta'ala's command? So Hafiz ibn Kathir in his tafsir, he explains. He requested for a sign for the contentment of his heart. Just like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said in Surah Baqarah, Surah 2 verse 260, وَإِذَا قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيَى الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. Oh my Lord, show me how you bring the dead to life. Allah the Almighty responded, do you not believe? He said, of course I believe, but I wish to give contentment to my heart. So look how beautiful. If you look at the verse, if you think Zakariya is doubting, that's kufr. If Allah the Almighty and Glory says you're going to be given a son, and if you look at the verse, give me a sign, does that mean that he's doubting? So the response is, of course, it doesn't mean he's doubting. So what does it mean? It's just like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He goes, show me, O my Lord, how you bring the dead to life. So Allah Ta'ala goes, don't you believe I can do that? He goes, of course, but I wish to bring peace to my heart. And this is what Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam was asking for. And also, if you look at the verse previous, verse 8, what did he say? Oh my Lord, how shall I have a son when my wife is barren and I have reached extreme old age? Remember, I mentioned this last week. Does that mean he's doubting? And the response is no. He was just asking again because he was so amazed Allah Ta'ala answering this. And he wanted to get pleasure from keep on saying it. So look how the Quran can misguide you. If you look at verse 8 and 10, it looks like he's in complete doubt. But the answer is, he's not in complete doubt. He's so happy, so ecstatic. And here, he wants contentment of the heart. So, what is the sign? If you look at the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he quotes Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, oh my Lord, give me a sign. The sign is you shall speak to no man for 3 nights. You or Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam shall speak to no man for 3 nights. So here, this is a interesting point Sheikh Maududi makes. So he quotes the Bible. And the Bible says, so this is in Luke 1-5:22. Quote Bible. Behold, you shall be dumb. You will not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because you did not believe in my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Astaghfirullah. There you go. Right? The Bible says he's in doubt. You know, he could, oh, how is this going to happen? So the Bible says, because you didn't believe, you're going to be dumb, meaning it's a punishment. Astaghfirullah, it's a punishment. Then it says, and the verse continues, the Quran, the Shaykh goes, mentions it as a sign, ayat. But according to Luke, it was a punishment. Moreover, the Quran mentions it as silence for 3 days. But Luke says he was dumb until Yahya was born. So this is the beauty of the Quran. It's getting rid of the rubbish that they've inserted into their scripture. Otherwise, we wouldn't know what's going on. So the first huge difference between the Quran and their narration is he's sinless. Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. He's not in doubt. What sort of a prophet is that? If he's in doubt, astaghfirullah. Everything he's asking is he's showing happiness. He's, you know, amazed at Allah Ta'ala's greatness. He wants contentment of the heart. The Bible says that he's told, because you didn't believe, you're going to be punished. Think about that. So there's a huge difference. It's not a punishment. He asked for the sign. He goes, Ya Allah, to show gratitude, give me a sign. He goes, you will not be able to speak for 3 days. So this is the thing here mentioned by Shaykh Maududi Rahmatullahi. Also, is it allowed to fast and remain silent? Is that part of our ibadah? So in the work Zad al-Mustaqni, a humbly fiqh reference by Imam al-Hajjawi, rahmatullahi, page 575, he talks about fasting and he said, fasting in linguistic terms means to refrain or to hold back. Now think about that. If people, what does soam mean? It doesn't mean stop eating and drinking. It means you're refraining. That's the meaning, literal Arabic meaning of soam or sign. A person who refrains from speaking is called sa'im in Arabic. Think about that. The same word. Sa'im, if a person doesn't speak because he's fasting, the Arabic word for that is fasting. It means fasting. And then he quotes a verse. Look how amazing. In the same surah. Surah 19 verse 26, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he mentions that Maryam, she said, I have vowed to the Most Merciful, Soma, so I will not speak to any man today. I have vowed to the Most Merciful, Soma, so I will not speak to any man today. So what does Maryam radiallahu anha say? I, in verse 26 of Surah Maryam, I'm fasting. And what was part of the fast? I'm not going to speak. That was part of their Shariat. Have you understood? So when they were fasting, it wasn't just stopping eating and drinking. It could also mean to stop eating as well and to stop speaking. Then the Shaykh said, similarly, one who refrains from walking is also known as Sa'im. If you don't walk, you refuse to walk. Sa'im means also that. He quotes a poem. I'll give you the English. A horse is Sa'im. A horse is fasting whilst another bolts, billowing dust. The other just chews its reins. So in this poetry, if a horse is sitting, the word for that is sa'im. He's not walking. It also means not to walk. A horse is fasting means he's refraining from running. Then he mentions the technical definition of fasting, and it's to stop eating and drinking, and the fiqhi rulings are mentioned in Al-Mutla. So note, when it says, give me a sign, Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, you can actually say he was fasting. What do you mean he was fasting? Because he wasn't speaking. You have to explain the Arabic word. You understand? You say, it doesn't just mean stop eating and drinking. It could also mean to not talk. So maybe that was allowed for their Shariat. Have you understood? That was part of the Ibadat. Question, is this Ibadat for us? Can we stop speaking? So there's a report in Sharh Sunnah number 2350, Mishkat number 3281, Ali radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَا صَمْتَ يَوْمٍ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. There is no silence all day. There is no reward for you not talking. So the Prophet said, for us, this is not ibadat. So if somebody goes, I'm fasting, brother, right? You respond by saying, MashaAllah, brother, you've got good intention. You probably looked into the Quran. You saw Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, Maryam. MashaAllah, very good. You can't do it. He's why I can't do it. You're talking now, that's why, right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there's no silence all day. Meaning that was their ibadat. In Mizair Ihaq, the commentator of Mishkat, he says, the hadith says it is not allowed, meaningless to observe silence all day. This has been mentioned because some previous nations observe silence as worship. They believe this brought them nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us, this doesn't mean anything. There is no silence in Islam. Now what's interesting, Christians. The Trappists of the Cistercian order of monks, they have a vow of silence. You see, some monks, they don't talk. You know, they got big robes on. And all they're doing is that kind of strange zikr. They won't even talk to you. They go, this. So they've kept it. Look how interesting. Who are these people? They're called Trappists. The Cistercian order of monks. They live an austere life. It includes a vow of silence. So when they take that tariqah, they go, you know, vow, you will never speak. And imagine for years they're not talking, even though they're living amongst each other. Allahu Akbar, Allah saved us from that. Imagine. They are a stricter branch of Benedictines, a Christian religious order. So what's beautiful about our deen? Allah Ta'ala is purifying it for us. You understand? Now some people to this day, they think that if you keep quiet when you're in Ramadan or you're fasting, you get more reward. Who told you that? Right? That's not part of our teachings. So if somebody looks at these verses, because Quran, brother, yes, with the Quran, but who's Allah Ta'ala talking to? He's talking to the previous prophets. Does that apply to us? Alayhi salatu wasalam. And the answer is no. Also, there's direct text in Abu Dawud Hassan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he said, remaining silent from dawn to dusk is not worship. You talk, because this is not ibadat, even though technically it's fasting. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu said, Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam's tongue was arrested without any sickness or illness. This is in Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir's tafsir. So when he couldn't speak, Allah Ta'ala took the power away. Have you understood? But Ibn Abbas said he wasn't ill, and it wasn't illness, it wasn't a punishment. Allah Ta'ala just took it away from him. Abdul Rahman ibn Zayd ibn Aslam rahmatullah alayhi said he used to recite and do dhikr of Allah, but he was not able to speak to his people except by gestures. So when he came to dhikr, he was alright. Imagine reading the Torah, doing the dhikr. But when people talk to him, he go. Right? So the people realize this is a miracle. Right? So why is this very important to highlight? Because it wasn't a punishment. He wanted to show gratitude, and Allah gave him that sign. He goes, of course. He goes, gestures. The other thing which is very interesting here, and you have to listen to this very carefully. If you look at the verse, Allah Ta'ala says something very interesting. You should not speak to man for 3 nights, although you are not dumb. Compare this with Surah 3 verse 41. So if you go to another passage, Surah 3 verse 41, there's very subtle differences there. Amazing differences that Allah puts into the verse. So in that verse, verse 41 of Surah Imran, Allah says, your sign, you shall speak to no man for 3 days, but with signals. What's the difference? Allah says 3 days here. In Surah Maryam, it was 3 nights, you shall not speak to man. Look at the amazing subtle differences in the Quran. In Surah Maryam, he says, ثَلَاثَ اللَّيَالٍ سَوِيَّةٍ for 3 nights, you shall not speak to man. In Surah Imran, he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for 3 days, you shall not speak except with signals. Why? Why is Allah Ta'ala doing that? Why has he made a subtle difference here? So here the scholars say, 3 days and 3 nights is 24 hours. So Allah Ta'ala was making clear it's a full 3 days, not 12 hours during the day. 3 days and 3 nights. So that's a simple answer. But then the Shaykh mentioned, but the point of view is different. There, when it says 3 days, you should not speak. It is from the Ummah's perspective, the congregation amongst whom he worked by day. He was an Imam. So there, during the day, Allah Ta'ala goes, look, when it comes to your people, no talking. Right, during the day. Here, 3 nights. The point of view is that this is between him and his Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. which spent the nights in salat and prayers. So Allah Ta'ala is saying here, privately, do it, privately. Notice again at the end of the next verse. Now think about this. We go to the next verse, verse 11. What does Allah Ta'ala say? Sabbihu bukratu wa ashiya. Remember the name of your Lord in the morning and evening. Allah Ta'ala mentions morning first. But in verse Surah 3, verse 41, he says in the evening and the morning. He reverses it. Showing again that the point of view is reversed. Now why have I mentioned that here? If you don't slow down and study the verses, you miss things. You understand? Somebody could say, well, what's the difference between the day or night? If there is a difference, why is Allah Ta'ala mentioning it? In Surah Imran, it's to his congregation during the day. Don't talk to them. Here, it's between him and his Lord. He goes, do it in your heart. Though the report says he could also do it with his mouth. And there's the beauty for 3 days and three nights. According to the Bible, he's punished. Astaghfirullah. And then he had to wait until Yahya is born. I mean, imagine how many months he has to wait. I've lost my speech. Right? So that's why the prophets to them are normal people. You know, they're good and they're bad. They go up and they fall down. We say, no, they never fall down, ever. And the Quran is giving you the guidance here. You know, subhanAllah. Verse 11. So Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam came out to his people from his chamber. He told them by signs to celebrate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's praises in the morning and the evening. So notice here. Now what does it mean, his chamber? That's interesting. He made the dua in whose chamber? Maryam's. Now he's saying his chamber. So the scholars say he had his own chamber. They had their own mihrabs. His mihrabs in Masjid al-Aqsa. There's a mihrab of Maryam. There's a mihrab of Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. There's a mihrab of Dawood. Quran mentions this. Now why have they got mihrabs? Because these are places where they love to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you go into the masjid, you see these chambers. Sometimes you go, you actually see a mihrab. You don't know whose it is. So you just think, I'll just do 2 rakats here. I don't know, ya Allah, there must be some holy person probably prayed here as well. You just imagine you're praying there. Sinful person like you. Verse 12. To his son came the command. O Yahya, alayhi salatu wasalam, take hold of the book with might. And we gave him wisdom even as a youth. So now look how beautiful. Zakariya's story stops. Alayhi salatu wasalam. What's happened? Straight away, you can see a jump now. Yahya's born, not only born. Allah Ta'ala has given him commands. So this is the beauty of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala, he's not a storyteller. He's giving you lessons. So here now he's talking about Yahya. What does Allah Ta'ala say to him? Ya Yahya khudil kitaba bi quwwa. O Yahya, take hold of the book with might. Now what does that mean? If you got a book, what does it mean? You know, hold it with might. So here Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayh, in his chapter on Kitab al-Adab Tilawat al-Quran, the etiquettes of the Quran recitation, page 93, he says, he quotes the verse, Ya Yahya khudul kitaba bi quwwa. O Yahya, alayhi salatu wasalam, hold fast to the book, he explained. Hold fast means to read with serious endeavor and diligence. So Allah Ta'ala is telling Yahya, alayhi salatu wasalam, seriously study the book, seriously make immense effort to understand the book, seriously. Then Imam Ghazali said, holding the book with serious endeavor consists in isolating yourself away from everybody when reading it and turning your attention away from other things. So what's Allah Ta'ala telling Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam? Study my book. Don't let anything distract you from it. Put your whole heart into it. So what does that tell you about the Quran? Allah Ta'ala will only give you if you do that. If you just go, you're going to get nothing, brother. Right? But if you go, no, I need to focus and I'm going to put my energy, I'm going to go to that verse again. What did Allah Ta'ala say? You're following whose sunnah? Yahya. Allah Ta'ala is telling you how to take from the Quran. Right? Study the Quran. The Quran for them was obviously the Torah. The Injil hadn't been revealed then. Maybe at the time it was because Isa alayhi salatu wasalam may have also emerged at the time. So here, Allah Ta'ala is teaching you something about the Quran. He goes, you follow this example. You know, subhanAllah. So now what's interesting? What does Allah Ta'ala say at the end of the verse? وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحُكْمَ سَبِيًّا. We gave him wisdom when he was a child. We gave him wisdom when he was a child. How old was he? In Ahmad Hakim Ibn Abi Hatim in his tafsir, Daylami Qadi Iyad Shifa, page 51, Ma'amr Rahmatullah Alayhi said, he was 2 or 3 years old when he was given wisdom. The children asked him, come and play with us. He replied, I wasn't created for games. So children, imagine 2 or 3 year old children. Imagine children, let's play. He says, I wasn't created for this. In other words, I need to study. Study seriously the Quran. Imagine a 2 year old, what's happening here? Allah Ta'ala goes, I've given him wisdom. 2 or 3 years old, he was given this by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Now what's interesting about this? This is a hadith. In Ahmad Tabarani, in his Kabir, Abu Ya'la Bayhaqi ibn Abi Asim al-Qudai, but there's a weakness. In Ad-Da'ifa, number 2486, our beloved messengers reported to have said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, your Lord is amazed by the youth who does not possess childish manners. Your Lord Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is amazed by the youth who does not possess childish manners. Now think about this. Allah Ta'ala is amazed a child with deep knowledge. Does that mean that you caught him out? No, it means he's very pleased when a child has this. So who's the classic example of that? Yahya. Allah Ta'ala was, you know, answering his father's dua, bless him. So now about the youth. There's a few things. So this is recorded in Tabarani in his Awsat, number 6421, Khatib al-Baghdadi, number 810, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'id, number 517, Ruh al-Ma'ani, 15-221, Ibn Kathir's Tafsir. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he said, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he has not sent any messenger, but he was in his youth. Shabab, wa huwa shabab. He never sent a messenger when he was old, when in his youth, shabab. Nor any alim is given knowledge, but when he was shabab, when he was a youth. Then he recited 3 verses. In Surah 21, verse 60, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, وَإِذْ قَالُوا سَمِئْنَا فَتَنْ يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. We heard a youth called Ibrahim talking about them. What did the people say about Ibrahim? We heard a youth. Allah Ta'ala says they called him a youth. So what's Allah Ta'ala telling you? He was given wisdom in his youth, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Ibn Abbas recited a second verse, Surah Al-Kahf, Surah 18, where Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, verse 30, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, when Musa said to his young companion, Innahum wa idh qala Musa li fatahu. When Musa said to his young companion, who was his young companion? Yusha. Allah Ta'ala calls him young as well, alayhi salatu wasalam. Third verse is Surah Al-Qaf. Innahum fityatun amanu bi rabbihim. They were young men who believed in their Lord, the sleepers of the cave. Allah Ta'ala was young. So Ibn Abbas said something amazing. He goes, when they're young, Allah Ta'ala blesses them with knowledge. So people obviously, you get this impression, they thought, that's a bit strange. Then he quoted Quran. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was young. Yusha alayhi salatu wasalam was young. The sleepers of the cave were young. So Allah Ta'ala, when you notice, when he wants to seriously bless somebody, he gives it in his youth. He gives it in his youth. This is why there's a report from Ibn Abbas. This is recorded in Bayhaqi Qurtubi in his tafsir Ad-Dur al-Mantur Kanz al-Oman, number 2452. Ibn Abbas, he said, radiyallahu anhuma, man qara al-Qur'ana qabla an yahtalimma fahuwa mimman utiya al-hukma sabiyya. He who recites the Quran before puberty is from those who are given wisdom in childhood. Let's look at this. So Ibn Abbas said, whoever recites or learns the Quran before puberty, meaning he's not baligh, but he's learned how to read the Quran. He's studying the Quran. He is from those who are, look at the words he used. He is from those who are hukma sabiyya. What words did he use? The same word that Allah uses for Yahya. What's the end of the verse? وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحُكْمَ صَبِيًّا. We gave him wisdom when he was a youth. So Ibn Abbas said, you can be like that. When you can recite the Quran before puberty, and when you study the Quran before puberty, you will be given wisdom. Allah Ta'ala has given you a secret here of the Quran. The Quran will give you wisdom if you start at a young age. Now forget about young age, you got grey hair. People are looking at the Quran. Astaghfirullah. Also, there's very famous reports in Al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawa'id, Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, and many others. Hasan al-Basri and Qatada, they said, Al-Hifzu fi al-Sughri qan-naqshi fi al-Hajr. Memorizing in young age is like drawing on a rock. So when you learn when you're young, it's like you've written something in a rock, meaning you won't forget. When you get older, what happens? You notice your memory starts going. You learn something. Hey, forgot it. Learning again. Forgot it. When you're young, you notice no responsibilities. Hasan al-Basri goes, you're giving them that extra head start. They're etching it. It's etching. That's why when they learn the Quran in their youth, they won't forget. You start young, that's the people who start young. They struggle. I've got to do too many things. Abu Mishr rahmatullah alayhi, he said, this is in Tariq Dimishq ibn Asakir 33-441 and Hafiz Zahabi in his Sir. The sharpness of the child in his childhood indicates to his greater intelligence in his adulthood. So Abu Mishr, he said that if you see greatness in a child, be sharp. Don't waste that blessing, because he is now Allah Ta'ala is telling you something. He can be a great blessing for the ummah. But people waste their children because he's so bright. And give him PlayStation. Right? You know, think about that. So when Allah the Almighty and Glorious says here, O Yahya, alayhi salatu wasalam, take hold of the book with might. Seriously study the book. Don't let anything distract you. Then he says, and then we gave him wisdom when he was a youth. Look how interesting. Allah Ta'ala is telling you something about the Quran. It unlocks wisdom. But if you put your heart and soul to it, not just like if I've got time. Now people say, I haven't got time for that. You get nothing for that. You get scraps. I'm going to make time for the Quran. Who are we compared to Yahya alayhi salam? You know, if anybody could say, I don't need anything, I'm a prophet of God. Allahu Akbar, 100%. Even he's told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 2-3 years old, imagine. 2-3 years old, study the Quran, study it. Don't let it distract you. And that's why, of course, he was blessed beyond measure. And the other thing which I should have mentioned, he was given prophethood at the age of 3. A report mentions that. He was made a prophet at the age of 3. And people find that shocking. They go, 3? Imagine somebody goes, who's your prophet? It's Kumindi. 3-year-old. Right? He was given wisdom. You know, you just imagine a youngster speaking Quran, you know, tafsir, what the Allahu Akbar. Zakariya must have thought, I'm 100 years old, mashallah, my son, 3 year old. Allah Ta'ala has already made him an imam. Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala, you know, answers the du'as of the who are near and dear. So I'll recite the verses and we will finish. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال رب اجعل لي آية قال آيتك ألا تكلم الناس 3 ليال سويا فخرج على قومه من المحراب فأوحى إليهم أن سبحوا بكرة وعشيا يا يحيى خذ الكتاب بقوة وآتيناه الحكم صبيا. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives me for any errors which I may have inadvertently uttered. Amen. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى من شاء الله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وأصل الحق وأصل الصبر صدق الله العظيم.